Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki teacher in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 8 years, I've been teaching people how to reduce anxiety and burnout. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Okay, so welcome, John and Betsy Barlow. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for being here.
It's really great to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
Thanks for inviting us. It's really nice to be able to share a little bit about what's going on in the area.
Absolutely. So I drive by the Heartfulness Center all the time. And I've, you know, I think a lot of times when things are in downtown Northampton, there's a little bit more visibility. But you guys have a really nice space. Well, it's a larger nonprofit. It's an international center, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, yes. The building is made up of four separate sections. And we own just 1/4 of it.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we actually own a condominium piece of this larger building.
Cool.
And it's around the back of the building. So when you enter the parking lot, you drive around to the back, and we have a nice sign there that's specific to our center.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And you guys are, so this, the Heartfulness Meditation Center, when we were emailing back and forth, Betsy, you said that you'd been regulars there for 40 years? Is that?
Well, regular meditators within the Heartfulness Meditation wing. This center is, has been in Sunderland for since 1996.
Yeah, I think around 24 years.
Wow. Yeah. And were you guys, were you organized in bringing it, opening the center in this location?
Yes, we were. We were living in Greenfield at the time.
Okay.
And we left the area probably around 2000. So we were here for the first several years.
Yeah, we lived in Greenfield from, I think, 1989 to about 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so during the time that we were there is when the center was actually opened.
Okay. What was it about Sunderland and this area that was a spark for the Heartfulness Meditation Center?
Good question. I mean, everybody is familiar with the Pioneer Valley.
We are famous around here.
You know, ability to be in contact with all kinds of people and all kinds of different programs and what have you. And this seemed like it would fit in perfect for one thing. And the other thing was that because we are trainers, you know, for this practice, and we were living in the area, we already had people coming to our house for regular group meditations.
Okay, so you're kind of doing the, like, more, I almost feel like that's a traditional style of having meditation in the West, is through when you have a guru or somebody that you're learning from, it's like in people's living rooms.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how we did for many years.
We were doing it for many years, yeah.
Until the neighbors complained about the parking in the streets, so we needed to find another place.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a bummer and it's a good thing.
It just was, you know, just made traffic a little bit congested, so it was totally understandable.
But then it was a good impetus for us to find a place, since the, you know, home front was being challenged in terms of number of people coming and the cars and all that. So we started looking for another place to bring the group together. And this came up, and we had enough money to buy it, so we bought the quarter of it, the section. It's around 2,500 square feet, I think, totally. But 150 to 180 people could meditate there.
Wow. How many, so I know you guys kind of grew out of your, the place that your home that you were bringing people over. How many people at that point did you have that were regular attendees as part of the Heartfulness Meditation?
I would say there were at least 30, 35 people regularly. And now there, many people have left the area. Some people have come back and, you know, things evolve and change. And right now, on a local basis, there are probably 20 or 25 people who meet on Sunday morning for group meditations, which are open and free to the public. Anybody is welcome to just stop in at 8:45 on Sunday morning and join us for meditation. So
I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great idea. It's a good idea. You know, it turns out that it is also the regional center. So folks from as far as like Boston or Maine that are practicing the same heartfulness will come down. And so we do have 100 people there every you know, well, what is it now?
Maybe
three
about
or 4 months?
6 weeks or so, every 6 or 8 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so it serves a greater purpose also, and it's nice to get together with folks, you know, who are kind of like-hearted.
Yep.
And so.
Like-hearted. Yeah. I love that. I love that. So tell me a little bit about, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, Northampton. And you're tuning into Energy Matters, and we're here chatting with John and Betsy Barlow, who are teachers over at the meditation teachers over at the Heartfulness Center Meditation Center in Sunderland. So, how did you guys get into the heartfulness meditation specifically? Because I know Betsy, you have a very expansive practice in the healing arts and mm-hmm. with energy medicine, mm-hmm. Doing heart math as well as the Heartfulness Center. So, but I'm really curious as to how you both got involved in the heartfulness meditation itself.
Mm. Hmm. Right. It's a good question, and it goes way back. It goes way back because, you know, I actually became interested in meditation first, I think, before Betsy, and then she joined me. But in the beginning, you know, this is like 40 some years ago. I was just wondering, like, what is my nature? You know, what am I supposed to do here? What is life about, sort of? And so the closest I could get was that maybe it had something to do with yoga. So what I ended up doing in the beginning was I got a book from the library and I started teaching myself hatha yoga postures.
Cool.
Yeah. And I did it for a while. I really liked it. I got, you know, fairly good at it. But it was still not, you know, sort of bringing into my life what I was looking for. You know, there was still something missing. So then I had a chance to start this other practice. I found out about this thing called Integral Yoga, which was Swami Satchidananda. And I started that. And it was, again, it was using the Hatha Yoga that I had learned about. But then they also had mantra meditation as
cool.
part of it. Mm-hmm. So I got a mantra and I practiced that. But the turning point for me and what really became our focus was when I met this teacher called Ram Chandra. And Ram Chandra is from India, and he was visiting the West. And in 1972, he was in Stonington, Connecticut on a trip that only, you know, went for a few states. And I met him, and that was when I really, you know, I mean, I was so impressed with this teacher. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I would look into his eyes and it would seem like I was looking into infinity. You know, I mean, it was like just so special. And so then he was there for a while. And then what I learned from him was that he had the ability to actually transmit this spiritual essence energy. You know, so he could transmit this unique divine, what we call divine energy, and from the source. And so, you know, I started to experience that, and I started to realize that there was something very real about it, and it was starting to make such an impression on me that I really felt like I had to, you know, try it for as seriously and sincerely as I could. So I actually went to India the next year, because he actually invited me, saying, because he said there was a big special celebration in India, in Madras. At the time it was Madras, and it was the 100th birthday of his teacher, of his guru. So they were going to have a nice celebration.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I went to that, and it was cool. It was very cool. And I we're probably 600 or 700 people, which at that time was a lot.
Were you part of a number of Westerners that were over in Madras?
Yes, exactly. There were probably, not just from the U.S., though. There were probably more from France and more from Denmark than there were from the U.S. There were only a few of us, actually, from the U.S., but this is a long time ago, and then that group, this teacher, Ram Chandra, would transmit to this group, and then I really started to feel something, you know, and I started to feel like this energy is coming into me, and it was really very, it was just amazing the way it was affecting me. And so, you know, then I decided I should try it, you know, like really try the practice, and because there is a recommended, like, morning meditation. And there's a thing called cleaning where you help, you know, really kind of like remove or let go of things that you've become attached to and complexities and so forth. And then you get the transmission. So what I found was whatever I could do on my own, it would be magnified, you know, like 10 times over or 50 times over by actually receiving this energy.
Well, that's what having a spiritual teacher is all about, somebody that's a little bit more, you know, evolved in their studies and their spiritual studies, so you get to benefit from all their hard work.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yes, it's just like a mountain climber where they get a Sherpa or somebody to guide them up because they haven't been there. They want to know where to put their foot. It's the same thing with meditation.
Yeah.
It's great to have someone that's already done it.
So I'm curious more about when you're talking about these transmissions, that is Ram Chandra, was that your...
Yeah, that was the initial teacher.
So when he was... when you were receiving these transmissions, was it a feeling of energy coming through? Was it an awareness of new ideas? What was it?
No, that's a really good question. I mean, what it is that I think, this is kind of what I've been able to experience over the years, is that there is in each of us this divine spark, let's say, in the heart. You know, it seems like it's, I think it's in everybody. And so, you know, like the transmission of this energy would sort of like go in and find its way into that spark and sort of help it to awaken, you know? And so what I would experience is this like very, very subtle force or energy inside that would be calming my mind down and bringing me into a deeper state of peace and calmness. And so that's how I could feel what was happening.
That's how you understood that. That's really cool.
And I would say another physical level experience of the transmission from my personal experience is that part of the process is really just allowing, with the help of the transmission, the, you know, impressions or layers or coverings over your heart or your soul to be dissolved. And those coverings actually have a weight. Maybe small, but they do have a weight. So when those are released or dissolved, you feel lighter afterwards. There is a real feeling of lightness of the heart and soul. And it's really akin to vibrating at a higher level, as one would when they feel happier, joyful. And so that's...
Lovely.
That's an experience, yeah. So,
Betsy, did you get to meet Ram Chandra, or is this sort of like this one over here.
Yeah, I know. Well, this one spent a lot more time than I did. I did meet him in, I think it was 1978. So we've made several trips to India. And one of the unique aspects of this particular philosophy or practice is that there is always a living teacher or a living guide. And so with the initial connection with Ram Chandra, when he passed away in 1983, his successor was named Partasarthi Rajagopalachari, who we called Chari for short because it was much easier to say. And he passed away, and so that was a person that we both spent several decades really knowing as our teacher. And he passed away in 2014, 15.
Yeah, that's right. So then another teacher came.
Yeah, and so the current teacher now is named Kamlesh Patel, who is known as Daji.
And so is Daji, the current teacher, he is runs sort of the lineage of the Heartfulness Meditation
Correct.
Center?
Correct.
Right, definitely. And one of the, I should have added, or we could have said that there's another unique aspect of the practice, which is that the spiritual guide is able to prepare other people to do the transmission.
Cool.
Yeah. So now I think there are 10,000 people across the world that are also transmitting energy in the same way that he does, except, I mean, there's not really much difference because it's source energy that comes through the teacher or the trainer. And the person who is receiving that energy can actually sort of go to a higher state spiritually than the person that's doing it, because we're like conduits, you know, like all our job is just strictly to allow this energy to flow through to somebody so they can benefit from it.
Lovely. Do you do the transmissions?
Yeah, Betsy and I both do.
Cool. Very cool. We're going to take a short break. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters on Valley Free Radio 103.3 FM. And we are chatting with the folks over at the Heartfulness Center, the Heartfulness Meditation Center in Sunderland. So I'm going to play a song by Pharrell, Happy, and Pharrell Williams, and we will be back in just a short moment. So stay tuned, everybody. Listening to Energy Matters here on Valley Free Radio 103.3 FM. And so we're here with John and Betsy Barlow of the Heartfulness Meditation Center. So welcome back, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, nice to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about the practice? Can you kind of guide us through maybe a simple practice of what the Heartfulness Meditation is all about?
Sure.
All right. Cool. No pressure. No pressure.
No, actually, you know, when you left off before, we were talking about the transmission.
Yes.
You know, and what it is. And let me just say one thing more about that, and then we'll talk a little bit how to get to experiencing it.
Okay.
The thing about the transmission is that it really is what we call source energy. And, so, you know, so therefore it means it is coming from the source or the center. And and we try not to say that it's coming from God because it's too hard to explain what that means. You know, what is it? You know, on the other hand, we would say that source energy is also the energy of love, because it just seems like that's the nature of it. You know what? Like that's what you how you respond to it. And part of that response is that if there is love in our hearts, you know, ultimately, like in that spark we were talking about, when you actually take source energy, that love energy, and you pour it into the heart responds with feeling love, by feeling love, you know, and by feeling love, it starts to feel really good. You know, it creates a whole new dynamic about who you are. It's like now you're a person who feels love in doing things, in being, you know, in talking with people, in anything that you do. Ultimately, you can have that experience of the love that's in the heart, but it's more apparent. So that's one thing. Now, how about the practice itself? The practice is really, there's something you can do every day. There's a morning meditation you can do. And then there's this evening cleaning that you can do. And this I'm talking about doing like on your own, in your home, some comfortable place. And the morning meditation is really meditating on the source of light in your heart. Okay. So, you know, again, it would be hard to describe exactly what that is, but we're saying that there is something there in that when our mind gets calm enough, we can experience it. So we have the source of light there, and we just sit and wait in that morning meditation and not worry about the thoughts that come, let them go, you know, and not be distracted by them, and go back to the idea that there's this source of light in the heart, this divine light in the heart, and go back to that. And then you just kind of wait for that experience to unfold. In the evening cleaning, we feel like any complexities and grossness that we've accumulated that day are going out the back in the form of smoke. So it's a little different. One time you're kind of waiting to experience the light in the divinity inside, and the other time you're trying to remove the stuff that you've become too attached to.
Another way to look at that is in a sense, you're creating space for then this source energy or light to enter. So it's this process of creating space and then in the morning allowing the light to enter, and that repetition just gradually goes deeper and deeper.
Betsy, I'd love to hear some of your experiences when you're sitting in the morning meditation. Do you do this as like a regular morning practice? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about some of the things that you have experienced or that you've witnessed when you're kind of sitting in that morning heartfulness meditation while you're, you know, kind of waiting to let like align with the light, with the heart light?
What a question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it runs the gamut, because as humans, you know, I mean, there have been times when I've had two little kids, and to try and sit down and meditate, you know, for any length of time.
You got 3 minutes.
Yeah, right. But out of that, I learned how to really focus my attention. Mm. So you've got both sides always happening. And so it really, a lot of that just depends on what you're willing or what you're interested in putting in, and then, you know, waiting for the process. And it's, you know, meditation is, it's so dynamic. And one of the unique aspects of this practice in having a living teacher all the time is that the practice itself changes. And so what I do now in terms of how I start, I mean, it's basically the same, but my, how do I say this? My relationship with it continues to evolve and change. And so so over the years, it has changed a lot. And some days it's much more difficult to really get under the surface, and some days you just slip right down. But to feel as though I am a part of a greater, more expanded universe, in that my heart, in a way, is connected. I mean, the heart really as a portal to a really expanded universe within. That's when I feel like I've really had a nice deep meditation.
What is it about the heart of all our different energy centers of, you know, our third eye chakra or our crown chakra at the top of our head, like our root, you know, like what is it about the heart that is at the heart of this practice?
Well, you're right. There's lots of places that people put their attention in learning to meditate or in meditating. But there has been a lot of research too, which Betsy can talk to more about, like the heart math research that showed how much direction the heart gives to the body and to the, and it's, you know, even to all the systems.
Now, are we talking about the organ of the heart or the like heart center, that like the energy center?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think you can really even separate them. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, what the Heart Math Institute has done over the last almost 30 years is really to begin to understand all of the ways, more and more ways that the heart and the mind and or brain interact. And in fact, one of the things that they've come to understand is that the heart actually sends significantly more signals to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. And so the heart is really the, and the heart is responding by emotions and sending those signals to the brain, and then the brain in turn responds and tells the rest of your system how to respond. So if you're experiencing something that causes you to be fearful or reminds you of a betrayal, or you know, someone in your office reminds you of how frustrated you are, you immediately go into those emotions. Those emotions then send the signal to the brain, and the brain then responds by shutting down the frontal cortex and opening up the limbic brain, so you go into fight or flight or whatever, and send the hormones that are related to those. And that's why how we feel has so much to do with the emotions. By how we feel, I mean our physiology, our blood pressure, our digestive systems, because the hormones that are released are directly related to what's available for us to use and function in our everyday life. And one of the things that the Heart Math Institute has discovered is that, for instance, when cortisol is released into the system, it actually takes a long time for your system to come back to normalcy once that hormone is released. So you can have, you know, a recall of an event and have those hormones released in your system, and then your mind can come back to normalcy, but your body isn't. Your body is still responding as if it is in a fight or flight or, you know, frustrated anxiety situation. So that's why they developed those techniques, like quick coherence, to really begin to instantly bring back a neutrality to your physiology, and so that you have can bring that back. It's been really, really useful in you know, with law enforcement or those kinds of jobs where people are constantly having more extreme situations. But even so, I mean, for me, I find that using those techniques before meditation are incredibly helpful, because sometimes your mind is the monkey mind, you know, it's going all over the place. And how do you settle back into your heart? It's, you know, they're little, simple, easy techniques to bring your focus and your awareness to the area of your heart, so that then you can move into a deeper meditation more easily, spend a little less time jumping around.
Yeah. Could you, the heart math, that is a technique that's a little different from the heartfulness meditation. It sort of runs in tandem because it's both heart-centered. Technically it's a separate technique from the heartfulness.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
Although you could use one before the other, it's not that they're incompatible. Mm-hmm. So I could use, you know, I could use a little heart math. I mean, the heart math techniques are really just a couple of minutes, so they're really meant to bring awareness and focus back to the area of your heart.
Mm. I always keep my eyes and ears out for different, you know, meditation groups and, you know, all kinds of stuff, just because I love it. It's interesting to me. And I think there was a young man who ran a group at the Forbes Library in the community room downstairs, and he ran a heart math group, and I really, really liked it. It was the first time that anyone had asked me to try to find my own heartbeat while I was sitting there, and I was like, I can't find my heartbeat. I was having a really hard time finding my heartbeat, and he was like, oh, we're going to do these groups regularly. And I think it was sort of maybe one of his early forays into running some of this. So, you know, sometimes that can bring up some nerves. And then all of a sudden you air quote, forget to rebook things. But the practice was beautiful. We're at another heart math practitioner locally because I think it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what's also useful about it is, for instance, you can get out of your meditation, you know, and you feel like you've really kind of established a nice way to begin your day, but then you get in the car and you're in a traffic jam or whatever it is, and you can easily just do a little bit of breathing and heart focus and bring yourself back to it, because, you know, the heart doesn't belong to any particular practice or religion or anything. Everything is, it's all, they're useful tools.
Well, funny that you mentioned that when people are driving, because we're right in the drive time right now for our listeners. Would you be open to maybe running us through a simple heart math meditation that people can do while they're sitting in their cars, maybe stuck in traffic?
Sure. Sure, I'd be glad to. Except
if you are driving, you should be very safe.
Yes.
Be careful and don't close your eyes.
If you're stuck in traffic, it's okay. If you're driving, you might want to pull off the road or something. But yeah, this is about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Is really all.
Perfect.
And once you get more comfortable with it, you can make it go as long as you want. But, you know, for the initial, 3 minutes is good. And just take a deep breath. Let your shoulders relax. And bring your attention, your awareness, to the area of your heart. If it helps to place your hand over your heart to feel where that area is, you can do that. And then simply take a nice, easy, refreshing breath. Breathing in and out. And now imagine that the breath is flowing into your heart area. And let that breath swirl around the heart. And then exhale from the heart area. We want to breathe a little more slowly and deeply than you usually do. And feel the breath flowing into your heart and out of your heart. And now recall a time when you felt good. A time when you felt gratitude or compassion or joy. It could be a pet or an event sitting by the ocean. And really try to feel, recall that experience so that you are experiencing that feeling. And so the key is to shift from your head to your heart. Shift from thinking about that experience to feeling that experience, that emotion in your heart. And it's really this elevated emotion that you connect to in your heart that in turn raises your vibration so you feel a little lighter. And continue to feel the breath coming in to your heart, swirling around, and exhaling from your heart.
I love that. It feels very good. That's exactly what I needed.
and what's, you know, and the more you exercise this like a muscle, you know, anytime you feel like, oh, yes, I can just take a minute I'm standing in the checkout line, and I got the slowest cashier. I can breathe, you know, and that changes everything because, you know, that saying, change the way you see things, and the things you see will change. And it's really, it's a tool to use to do that very thing.
Mm. And to shift.
Yeah, kind of that the shift.
Cortisol, yeah. Yeah. Hormone, stress.
Yeah, because we reaction. Have a chase and a choice. And that brings us back to a neutral place. And then connecting with emotion, an emotion that is, you know, what they call a regenerating emotion. It feeds your system positively rather than drains your system. So the more you can feed your system with a positive memory, and your body doesn't know the difference between an event that happened 10 years ago or yesterday. The same thing with negative emotions. When you remember how angry you were, your body responds as if it just happened. And the same thing is true for positive emotions. So why not use them?
That's right. And, you know, my guru always says, I don't know if you guys know Amma, the hugging saint.
Oh, yeah.
I figured
yeah.
you might.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, she always says that, you know, happiness is a choice.
Yeah.
And when you have the tools exactly. to be able to choose something different than being frustrated and waiting for that slow cashier at the grocery store, you know, or waiting for somebody to come over and fix that coupon error or something yeah. that's happening, you can choose to focus on something else instead of just feeding into the same thought loop or the same emotional loop.
Right.
So I love having tools to kind of get you into these different mind spaces or emotional spaces,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm. I think in some ways it's a wonderful lead in to a meditation, you know, because you're ending up in your heart, you know, it's a great place to end up, and it's calm and quiet. And sometimes from there, you could actually do a meditation like we were talking about, where you would meditate on light in the heart and get transmission, all the better. Things happen more easily, you know, and I was thinking about heartfulness, the Institute itself. And what Betsy had said too was that, you know, it has changed in some ways. The biggest change is that it's easier to become involved in it now than it used to be. It used to be that you had to actually meet with a trainer like 3 days in a row for an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and consecutively, and it was really hard for people to get started. But recently, within the last 5 years, it's been changed so that anybody can drop in at that meditation center, you know, on Wednesday night at 6:45 or Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and just join us for a meditation.
Sunday morning at 8:45.
8:45, yes. Exactly. Yes.
Not your favorite time.
No, so you're ready by 9.
I'm awake early. I just don't like to be in other places other than my house and my pajamas.
Well, that's another thing we haven't talked about, but you can actually receive the transmission remotely.
Okay.
Yeah, we can arrange a time. We have an app, actually. And on the app, you can arrange a time to have somebody transmit to you.
How can people find that app where they can get the remote transmissions?
The easiest way to do it is to go to heartfulness.org website.
Okay.
And from that website, you can get all kinds of information. And I'm quite sure you can download the app from the website, too.
Okay. Fabulous. And so you can just you can kind of dig in through there, through that app, through the Heartfulness. Can you say that website one more time?
Yeah, it's heartfulness.org. It's HEARTFULNESS, heartfulness.org. And from there, you can get information on the practice itself, like what we've been talking about, cleaning or meditation. And you can also arrange it to meet with a trainer, or you can do it through the app.
Fabulous. Mm. So what do people typically experience when they're at the Heartfulness Center and they receive the transmissions from you? Is there anything that people have said to you over the years that really stuck with you in sharing their experience?
Well, you know, a lot of times people don't talk after the meditation, not because there's a rule about not talking, but because you just are interiorizing the process, and it's, you know, it slows everything down. And my experience is I just feel more connected with myself. You know, it's sort of like finding your own sweet spot.
Mm, yeah. I love that. Yeah. Oh, that sounds so nice.
So, so because there are trainers who can kind of lead the meditation, one of the things when somebody comes is there's usually one person sitting in front who begins the meditation by saying, please begin meditation. And the meditation is usually about 40 or 45 minutes. And at the end of the meditation, the trainer will say, that's all. And that's it. Wow. Sometimes they'll read something, you know, but other than that, it's really just the experience of meditation. So it's very simple.
Cool.
And it keeps getting deeper over time. You know, it's like any thing you practice, you know, it's like in the beginning, the mind is a bit wandering, but later on it gets calmer and calmer. And then pretty soon you meditate and within a few minutes, you're into a deeper state.
I love it. We're going to take another short break. We're going to listen to a song by Matt Quinton. It's called Morning Dew. So stay tuned. We're here chatting with John and Betsy Barlow of the Heartfulness Meditation Center in Sunderland. So stay tuned. Thank you. And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters here on Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM. And we are sitting today with John and Betsy Barlow of the Heartfulness Center. So welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Of course. So I wanted to chat with you. We were chatting over the break, and you know, I was saying how, you know, when you do any kind of spiritual practice, whether it's meditation, whether it's the hatha yoga, whether it's just any of this kind of internal work, when we start looking inside, right, it starts bringing up our stuff. You know, that's really common. And as long-term meditators, as well as, you know, practitioner in the healing arts, I'm really going to be a little nosy here. But as our stuff is starting to come up, and you guys have been doing this practice, how does this affect your relationship over so many years of being together and having these long-standing spiritual practices where you're also working on your own shadow sides, or, you know, clearing out your heart and your own spiritual hygiene? I'm curious as to, yeah. John, you look like, you're, no. I don't know. You look like you're like, don't call on me.
Well, I'll go first.
No.
No, it's a really great question, because one of the things we mentioned during the break was that part of being on this practice is being on a practice and being open to change. And when you're in relation to somebody else, you know, you like to have a bit of a groove going where you can kind of count on how the person's going to respond in different situations. In this case, I think
that's a safety thing.
Yeah. What we count on, or what I count on with John, is I know what motivates him, what his passion is, and that is his own personal interchange. And that I'm happy as a partner to support. And so there has to be an element of trust there, that I feel that he also has that support for me, so that the changes can happen. You're not afraid to really explore and really let go of some of those coverings that were protecting something you didn't want to see yourself, or didn't want somebody else to see.
So I'm not afraid to say something.
You just had a look in your eye.
No, actually, I can't imagine, you know, not having had Betsy as a partner to do this with. Because, you know, I mean, it's like our whole lifetimes we've been, you know, sort of working on our own personal growth, but then sharing that with other people. I mean, we've both been these, you know, trainers for 25, 30 years. So people have been coming to our house every night for 20 years, more or less. And so all of that stuff has to fit together. And it has to fit together too, in that I had a career, you know, in hospital administration sort of, and retired a year and a half ago. And
congratulations. Betsy,
thank you. And Betsy's been, you know, involved in healing, energy healing and so forth. So all those things, plus the children, we have two girls, all of that has to fit together. You know, it's like you have to be able to go to work, come home, take care of the family things and interpersonal relationship things, but at the same time, you're meditating. And I think the meditation is what helps you to do all those things in, you know, a more harmonious way or a more loving way. And so that automatically makes the relationship better. You know, it makes everything continue to get. So I'll tell you this quick story. We were, and because I like this one a lot, we were in Italy 2 weeks ago, and we were eating lunch in a restaurant, which actually was a little bit vegan, which is interesting because Italy has so many other foods, you know. And we were sitting there, and a person came over to us, and they said, and we didn't know this person. He was just sitting a couple tables away, and he just walked over, and he stood up next to us, and he said, "Boy, you two look like you're really in love."
Aww.
Yeah, and he said, "Is it a special occasion?" And we said, "No, it's not really a special occasion. We're just happy to be here." But it's, I think it had an effect on both of us, that, you know, that people would see that or feel that around being around us, that we, you know, really care about each other and appreciate each other. As much now as ever.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very interesting, too. I feel like when you resonate in the heart energy, that feels like being in love.
Yeah. Yes.
And people recognize that, because it's like when you're in love, like there's just daisies popping up around you. And it's kind of like that when you're really happy and joyful.
Well, I think because we spend on a regular basis time connecting with our hearts in that space, whether it's heart math or meditation or whatever it is, it's much easier when there is conflict or disharmony to just sort of cut to the chase and say, I can say, you really hurt my feelings. That's what really happened. It's not that you said this or did this. You know, the bottom line is, my feelings were hurt, or I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. It's much easier to get to that place, which can support real change in a relationship, because you're just a little more familiar with going there.
Yeah. My boyfriend always says, he loves Thich Nhat Hanh, and he, like in his book on anger, he says, darling, I am suffering. Can you help me? So, like, we joke, but, like, it actually really helps just to say, like, yeah. Darling, I am suffering. Yeah. I need your help.
Yeah.
And it's just, like you said, it just cuts to the chase.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm feeling hurt, and that hurt my feelings. And it's just like, that's beautiful. That's a really cool practice. So tell me a little bit about what kind of events you guys have coming up. I know that you said you have regular Wednesday and Sunday meetings. Can you kind of tell us what's happening at the Heartfulness Meditation Center?
Yes, I can tell you about those events, and then there are regional events that we have, you know, that actually I don't know when the next one is planned for, but there will be one. But I wanted to also say something about our YouTube channel.
Yes, tell us.
Recently, well, here's the thing. It's called Four Friends, and then it's called Getting Real About Consciousness.
Okay. Now, this is separate from the Heartfulness.
Yeah, this is just what we're doing on our
own. So what's the YouTube channel called?
It's called Getting Real About Consciousness.
Getting Real About Consciousness. Okay, so that's your YouTube channel.
Yes.
And that's us just fooling around, having fun.
Okay.
Yeah, we're having fun.
With our friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
But it's based on Four Friends. Originally, it was called Four Friends. Doing this, you know, getting together to talk about consciousness, and so what happened was we were together, four of us who are friends, and we were at a club listening to a band that we knew, and one of the four friends said, well, then we started just talking about in the club, we started talking about spirituality and meditation, all these things, and so he said, this friend of ours, he said, well, why don't we film this? Why don't we, you know, get together? Do that kind of a session where it's an interactive and you're asking each other questions and you're talking about your own experience, all four of us, and we can film it and have a channel. So we've been working on it for actually several months now, but we finally got it published. And there's two videos up right now, but there'll be more coming as we do them. And we're hoping people will like it and we'll, you know,
fabulous. Well, I'll make sure I put that link up to that that channel when this episode goes up on my archives. So, you know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters, and this and all past episodes are on ReikiNorthampton.com/radio. So you can always go back and find out more about the Heartfulness Center and catch earlier parts of the episode with John and Betsy Barlow. So don't feel like you missed this, or, you know, we'll link all that stuff on the ReikiNorthampton.com/radio page. So you can have access to all of that as well.
Yes. It's also on our Facebook page.
Fabulous. And can you give a shout out to that Facebook page as well?
Yeah. It's also called Getting Real About Consciousness.
Fabulous. Great.
Why not?
Yeah. Why not? We're all curious, I think, at some point. Yes. Like, you know. And let's see. Is there anything that... in the Heartfulness Center, can you give us... Let's just give everyone all the information that they might be curious about now. And it was the heartfulness.org is the main page for the
that's
Heartfulness
Center. That's the international page. We do have a local page, and that's Heartfulness Meditation PV, which stands for Pioneer Valley.
Fabulous.
Valley.com.
Okay.
So heartfulnessmeditationpv.com.
Great.
That's our local page.
Great.
And so that'll give you the directions and email address, any kind of questions you might have about that.
Access. So is there anything that you'd like to just kind of throw out there into the universe? We're kind of coming towards the end of the hour. Any last little tidbits that you'd like to put out into the universe?
Well, I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, first of all and foremost, because, you know, it seems to me like And also, we've watched it over the years where, you know, 50 years ago, if you, or 45, if you had said yoga, people would question, you know, what are you doing? What is that about? It would always, it would seem so strange. Yeah. Nowadays, of course, channeling and everything else you can imagine, like you said, extraterrestrial discussions or meditation, it's all totally up in the, you know, forefront of everything and everybody's minds. So what I would say is that, you know, that it's partly because of the times that we live in. Right, we're in a difficult time right now. It's like climate change, very big deal, could change everything. And then people, the way they interact with each other, that's not so good a lot of times. So the more that we can become heart-centered, the more that we can find that love in our hearts, the more that we can get together in groups to meditate or even just share compassion or anything, I think it's just so needed right now. So I'm supported 100%.
Fabulous.
And especially groups getting together that are allowing the boundaries of their groups to dissolve a little bit so that there's a unity among all of these groups and philosophies that are really wanting to support change, raise the vibration. That doesn't really, it doesn't really matter what you call it, you know. I was reading that quote, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And I'm thinking, God, one step and another step and another step. And that's just how it goes.
Yep. Fabulous. Well, thank you both so much for being on the show today. I'm really grateful that you guys are here and that you were set up and ready to go when I walked in the door. And I'm really excited to hopefully get a chance to pop over and visit you guys at the Heart from the Center.
Yeah, wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It was so great to meet you.
Yes. Nice to meet you guys as well. And I just wanted to give everybody a quick shout out and just let them know that, you know, we are coming up to Thanksgiving. And so we're doing a lot of donation at the local survival centers for the Food Bank Farm and Hadley, the East Hampton Community Center Food Pantry, Western Mass Food Bank. All that stuff kind of goes to the Monty's March that's happening. So if anyone wants to donate food to the Amherst Survival Center, everyone's collecting food right now. So there's about 15 different locations. So please don't hesitate to drop off food, shelter, and clothing. For the fall food shelter and clothing drive. All right. Well, we are going to go out today with All I Know by Danny Lee and Kes. So be well. I know I can't afford to stop for one moment that it's too soon. This gold tight time. I just got to do me. Yeah, that's all I need. I got to be free. Baby, we both know.
Do not necessarily represent those of Valley Free Radio Incorporated, its volunteers, or any other hosts, guests, or programs on this station.